Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 5. James chapter number 5. Again, the sermon tonight is called Prayers That Avail Much. James chapter number 5. Once you find James 5, I want you to find verse number 13. James chapter 5, verse number 13. And would you all stand with me out of respect to the Word of God? I'm going to read verse 13, 14, 15, and 16 out loud. And you can follow along. It says this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of course, those last few words, availeth much, that's what we're after. Prayers that avail much. Let me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we need your help, so we come to you and ask that thy Holy Spirit would help tonight during the sermon. God, my personality is not enough. I need your Holy Spirit to communicate through me. Lord, the people's perceptions are not enough. Their intellect is not enough. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit that lives within them is given free rein in their mind and in their will and in their spirit tonight so that something supernatural can be accomplished in the next few minutes. Some came to church glibly tonight, light-hearted about spiritual things, but somehow, God, make this service a life-changing service for someone, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I still believe in prayer. It's not something that gets a lot of fanfare, and it's not something that gets a lot of attention, but it's in the Bible, and there's never been a church or a Christian that's been successful that didn't pray. You need to learn to pray. James chapter 4, verse number 3 says this, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us that we should pray without ceasing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Psalm 37:4 tells us, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me." Psalm 50, verse number 15 says, "And call upon me in that day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." About 11 months ago, God laid something on my heart. And I began to pray about that something. And I began to ask God for that something. I only told one other person about that something. And we together coveted that we would pray about that something. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It was a big deal to me. And about 9 days ago, God answered my prayer. I was elated. The other person that does not live here, but about once a week, we would touch base and he would say, "I'm praying." I said, "Okay, thank you, and I'm praying." And then the day that God answered the prayer, we spoke and we both rejoiced in the fact that God answers prayer. Took 11 months, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. It's something that was really dear to my heart, and nobody in the world knows what it is. Not people in my family do not know what it is. It's something that I went to God about, and I said, "God, I just wish you could do this." I'm here to tell you tonight, My God is a prayer-answering God.
Amen.
My God, He promised that He would listen to us, and He promised that He wanted things that He wanted us to have, and I still believe in prayer. There are prayers in the Bible that are spectacular prayers that were answered by God. Elijah prayed for fire from the sky to consume an altar and sacrifice. He prayed that in 1 Kings 18 to show the worshipers of Baal that his God was the real God. And you know something? God answered that prayer. The fire came from the sky. David, a different kind of prayer. David had messed up. Satan had gotten the best of David. David had committed adultery, and then as a result of it, David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered. And in Psalm 51, David, in a very humble, broken way, goes to God and he says, "Dear God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And you know something? God answered that prayer in Psalm 51. I think David finished strong, and David went down in history as a man after God's own heart. Elijah prayed a prayer for a widow lady whose son had died. And he prayed that God would restore the life of that boy. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, God restored that life. Peter was in prison. The church got together and said, "We need him." And they began to pray that Peter would be released from prison. And you find out in Acts chapter 12, much to even the church's surprise, Peter was released from prison. In the passage of Scripture that we read right at the beginning of the night and together from James chapter 5, I think we see what I think you and I would like. We would like prayers that avail much. I want you to listen again. I'm going to read that passage again to you. I want you to listen to it, and I'll promise you, I can't give you anything new. I can't give you anything special, but I can give you something I can give you some items that are a part of getting your prayers answered. Listen to James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The passage tends to talk to us about someone that's sick, and they're needing some healing, and God is saying, you need to pray for that healing. But I want you to understand, the question is asked, "Is any sick among you?" I don't think that question is there somebody that's a little sick among you? I think it probably means there's somebody that's big sick, really sick, sick unto death. I think what God is saying is, do you have a big request? And then he begins to talk about getting big requests answered. Because what's the result? In the end, we're looking for prayers that avail much. What's that mean? They're productive. The prayer gets answered. I'm going to show you some things, real simply, from this passage of Scripture about getting a big prayer answered so you see your prayers avail much, produce much. Let me say, first of all, it talks about calling for the elders of the church to pray over this sick person. It said, let him call for the elders now. And it says, and let them pray over him. There's something that I've learned about prayer. If I have a big prayer request, I know I can take it to God, and I know I can pray all by myself. I just almost always get at least one person praying with me. And I don't know why. I just know this. Here, somebody had a big request, and they went to an elder. That word elder there would be equivalent to pastor in the New Testament church. But whether it's a pastor or not, I want to recommend to everybody here that if you have a great big request that you want to take to God, it might be a good idea to find one other spiritual person to become a prayer partner and to pray that with you. It doesn't mean you have to have everybody. And if you say, "Pastor, I'm going to pray alone," well, God can answer your prayer alone. But what I have done through the years, if I've reached out to people that I know how to pray. My dad is one of the godliest men you could ever meet. When my dad prays, it's almost like you could see him reach up to the horns of the altar in heaven and pull things down from God. I'll tell you something. If I've got a big prayer request, I'll call my dad. I'll say, "Dad, could you and I pray about this?" Now, the prayer request that I had earlier that I told you it took 11 months, I didn't take the prayer request to my father. I didn't take it to any family member. I took it to a very, very dear friend. But through the years, when I was praying about something very big, I've always found at least one heavy-duty prayer warrior to pull into it with me. It's just the way I've done it. And I'm not telling you that's the only way to do it. I've seen some successes in regard to prayer, and for some reason, the scripture here talks about get somebody to pray with you about this sickness. And remember, I don't think the whole issue here is sickness. It's a big request, and in this case, it's sickness. Number two, it talks about, it said, "And let them pray over him." And then it says, "Anointing him with oil." Now, let me explain oil. In the New Testament, in the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. When a king was anointed in the Bible, they anointed him with oil. And that was a picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. I'll try to explain this to you in a simple fashion. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. The Bible says he is sealed there unto the day of redemption. He lives within you. Every day of your life, you ought to turn to that Holy Spirit and let him guide you through your day. And that, in simple terms, is this. That then is you walking in the Spirit. Throughout your day, you're to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. So he guides you. So he leads you. There are some of you say, "I'll tell you what, if I'm going to have a pastor, I want a pastor that is filled with the power of God." And you ought to feel that way. And preachers ought to walk in the Spirit. But let me say something as a pastor. You know what? If I'm going to have some members, I'd like to have some members that are filled with the power of God, that walk in the Spirit. Because nowhere in the Scripture does it say it is only the man of God that is to be filled with the Spirit of God, but God's people are to be filled with the Spirit of God. So if you're a child, a teenager, an adult, it does not matter if you're a lay person or a pastor or a preacher, you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're to walk in the Spirit. Now let me teach you something about prayer. Way too many people try to get things from God while they're walking in the flesh. Amen. The reason you don't get your prayers answered is the same reason you struggle with your Christian life. You're trying to do it in your flesh. You want your prayers answered? Go to God when you're submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. That oil there, it's a picture of getting the Spirit of God involved. And I'm getting ready to move on to the next point, but let me tell you something. You should pray in the Spirit. So, number one, you get someone that is a prayer to go along with you. Number two, you walk in the Spirit or you pray in the Spirit of God. Number three, it said, "And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." It's another key thing that I do in regard to my prayers. You take the big prayer request that I told you about, that we prayed about for 11 months that God gave me. I didn't ask God for something for me. Now, I could have. But the key was, this is what I told God. I said, "God, I think if you do this, it's going to glorify you. I want to do this because I think this is good for you. I think you will get glory from this. I think you're going to be exalted because of this. Matter of fact, right this moment, I'm exalting him over answering that prayer. Now, you could ask for something for yourself, but can I tell you something? The Bible says so many times we don't get our prayers answered because we pray, and that we want to consume it upon our own lusts. Really, you want to get some big prayers answered? Why don't you pick some big things? It's not all about you. Pick some big things that are good for God. Pick some big things that will be a blessing to God. Y'all remember when we were at our old building over on Trent Road and we were packed. Oh, we were packed in there. And I apologize. I know you're packed in here too. But we were packed in there. We looked at all these buildings. This building that we're in, it was the most expensive. It was totally out of our league. Y'all, you men, remember we came over here on a Saturday and got on our knees and got on our faces. While this building, it didn't even belong to us. We barred the key and got in and we had a prayer meeting. We said, God, we can't afford this building. It's the nicest one we're looking at. Give it to us, please. Now, that wasn't all about our egos. You know what we told God? You give it to us, we'll fill it. You give it to us, we'll get people saved. You give it to us, we'll try to salvage families. You give it to us, we'll tell little boys and girls that Jesus loves them. You give it to us, we'll uplift the Bible. And virtually, folks, us having this building, it is a miracle. It is a gorgeous building. Now, all we need is an auditorium that's three times larger than what we have. But let me tell you this about that. If he can give us this one, he can give us another one. You say it seems impossible. I serve a God that specializes in the impossible. Now, if you have a big request, what I do is I go touch base with a prayer warrior and say, let's go after this. Then I make sure that I approach God in the Spirit. I don't want to approach God in the flesh. I almost feel bad going to God and asking Him for something, knowing that I'm carnal and fleshly. So I go in the Spirit. And then I go to Him in the name of the Lord. In other words, I want something that will glorify Him. Number four, it says in verse number 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, folks, I think it's important that you have faith in God when you pray. Now, I want to explain something to you. Your faith in God when you pray is this. You need to believe, number one, God knows the best answer to your prayer. God may not give you everything you want, but God always has your best interest in mind. And I'm going to keep my faith in God. There have been times, I always tell God this. I'll say, God, I'm asking for this, but if you don't give it to me, I have 100% confidence in you. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to become bitter. My faith is in the fact that you're an all-knowing and an all-loving God. I'm coming to you because you told me I could, and my faith is in your best interest that you have in me. So, you go to God in faith. Now, see, some of you almost try to use God like a credit card. God's not a credit card. God is God. God is He's the creator of the universe. So, I've got to hurry. I told you, number one, I get somebody else to pray with me. Number two, I approach Him in the Spirit. Number three, I make big requests that will glorify Him, not me. Number four, I approach Him in faith, believing He could do anything, but willing to accept the anything that He thinks is best for me. Then, a part of this passage of Scripture that's ignored by so many people, and one of the great keys to having your prayers, whether it's for healing or some other big thing, so many times this part is, it's kind of ignored. Now, many claim this scripture about healing, but they miss a few of the behavioral qualifications or prerequisites to getting some big things answered. For instance, in verse number 16, while he's talking about getting all these prayers answered, and in a moment he's going to talk about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but he said, confess your faults. Right smack dab in the teaching on prayer, if you want to end up with the end result of availing much, your prayer availing much, he said, you need to do some confessing. Could I recommend something to you? If you want a big prayer answered, maybe you ought to get yourself right with God. It says, confess your faults one to another. I happen to believe there's two parts to this teaching on confession. First of all, confess your sin to God. Some people pray while they've got sin in their life. And I mean, they know it and they don't care. So then they go to prayer and ask God for something big, and God would just like for you to get your heart cleaned up a little bit before He gave you what you wanted. And then He doesn't give it to you. So you're now mad at God. When it wasn't God that stopped your prayer, it was your lack of confession that stopped your prayer. There's some people in here, I believe wholly, that if you would get a few things straightened out with God, some of your prayers that are being hindered would not be hindered. God would probably answer some of your prayers. So you confess your sin to God. Your sin hinders your prayers. But this passage of Scripture says, confess your faults one to another. Now that would include God, but wait a minute. That probably includes between the two of us. Me and you. You and your wife. You and your husband. You and your parents. You and a brother and sister in the church. You say what? Yeah, God expects you to get yourself right with Him. And God expects you to get yourself right with the brethren. And then He might listen to what you have to say about your prayer request. Did you hear what He said? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Then the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All sorts of people say, well, I'm going to get anointed and I'm going to pray and I'm going to get what I want. And God said, you better confess. You better get yourself right with Me. And it wouldn't hurt that you get yourself right with some of the people you're supposed to have good relationship with. That means this. There are people in here. If you would hit this altar and apologize to God for your sin, you have to stand a better chance of getting your prayer answered. Oh, but then there's some of you, you need to go to someone and apologize. You need to go to someone and say, I'm sorry, I did you wrong. Hey, try one of these apologies where you apologize for your wrong and you don't try to cast blame on them while you're doing it. Well, I wouldn't have cussed you if you wouldn't have done thus and so. You know what? The average human being today will not take personal responsibility. They've always got to blame somebody for their sin. You will give an account to God for your mouth. And your sin, and your wrong, and when you do wrong. And it's time for Christians to suck it up and take responsibility. It wouldn't hurt you just to say to someone, I was wrong. I apologize. And I truly believe there are people that do not get their prayers answered because they will not confess their sins one to another. And this isn't talking about going to your priest and, you know, doing your Hail Marys, you know, my father can beat your father in dominoes and all that sort of stuff. This is talking about you confess to God that there's some sin in your life, then you confess to other people. There's nothing in the world wrong with me saying to you, I'm sorry, I did you wrong, or you saying to me, I'm sorry, I did you wrong. God said, let's clear the air. You want to come talk to Me and you want My favor and you want something big for Me, all I want you to do is to clean up your life, by the way, which is best for you. And all I want you to do is get your relationships right, by the way, which is best for you. I've got everything you need, but I want you to knock it off and get some things cleaned up in your life. You say, I just want God to answer my prayers no matter what my spiritual state. Okay, then you just keep on not getting your prayers answered then. Because you will have to come to God His way. You don't come to God your way. All right, so Number one, I get someone that prays, and I go together with them in prayer. Number two, I approach God in the Spirit. Number three, I do it in the name of the Lord. I make sure it'll glorify God. Number four, I pray with faith. Number five, I confess. I confess to God and get things straightened out. And then secondly, I make sure there's no disunity or harm between me and someone. Number six, then, it says in verse number 16, pray one for another that you might be healed. That's kind of funny to me. Somebody wants to be healed, and God said the answer is pray for each other. You mean I ought to pray for somebody that doesn't need to be healed if I need to be healed? I think what he's saying is this. Don't be stingy. If you want your prayer answered, don't be stingy with your prayers. I believe something. I believe in soul winning. I believe in telling others about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? I think some of you, you have a loved one somewhere out there in the world and you'd like to see them get born again. And you would really like for someone to go witness to them and get them saved. Can I tell you one of the keys to getting that done? Did you know there's somebody out there that has a loved one right here in New Bern and they want their loved one to be saved? You know what I do? If Uncle Roy lives in California, you'd like to see him get saved. Somebody has an Aunt Bessie right here in New Bern, and they'd like to see their Aunt Bessie get saved. Why don't you, since you live in New Bern, go tell Aunt Bessie about the Lord and get her saved, then turn to God and say, God, I got me one here. Could you send someone to go get my uncle in California saved? What God is saying here, he said, pray one for another. What's he saying? He said, why don't you, if you've got a big prayer you want answered, why don't you help somebody else get one of their prayers answered? Isn't God, God's a unique God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. What's he saying? Don't be stingy. Let me ask you something. You say, Pastor, I've got a big prayer request. Could I ask you to pray with me about it? You know what? I'll say yes. But wonder if I said, well, when was the last time you prayed about one of the prayer requests at the church in a big way? You say, well, I really haven't. I mean, I pray over my Fruit Loops in the morning. And we have public prayer before the sermon's here, and I pray that. You know, I've got my now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I got that prayer down. But as far as really praying big about something else for somebody else, I haven't. Do you believe in reaping what you have sown? You know what? If you tore into somebody else's prayer request as if it were your own and begged God and begged God and begged God and begged God for something for somebody else, if you went to God and said, by the way, God, I had a little something I was kind of hoping for myself, I think God would say, you got this down now. It's not all about you. And I think that's one reason why he says, pray one for another that you might be healed. Let me move on. Number seven. We finally get toward the end of the passage, and it says, it speaks of It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now remember, availeth much, that's where we're going. Now it says, of a righteous man. Now, let me explain. There's two kinds of righteousness that could be involved here. There is the righteousness that you and I receive from Jesus when we get born again. Remember, we couldn't save ourselves. So we ask him to save us, and that's where he gives us his righteousness. That's salvation righteousness. It's called imputed righteousness. That's when his righteousness is stamped on our account. And when God looks at us, he looks at us and says, that record right there reminds me of Jesus. And you go, yeah, we're brothers. So there, I think that saved people are most apt to get their prayers answered because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But wait a minute. There's a second kind of righteousness. There is the righteousness that we were given at salvation, but there is also a personal righteousness taught in the Bible. You say, and how is that accomplished? By practicing separation from the world. There are people in here, you've been taught to separate. You've been taught things you need to separate. You've been glancing at separation issues, but you haven't separated. You're slowing down your prayer life. Because it said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous, number one, saved, imputed righteousness, given to us by God at salvation. But number two, there is a personal righteousness. That's where we take the bad out of our life and we separate from the world. There are a lot of people who would like to have some prayers answered, but they are living in a worldly fashion, and I think God would like them to clean up their lives. You say, well, I don't like that. You'll have to understand, if this is how God put it in the book, this is how it is. I think God's pretty smart. God wants you to clean up your life. Have you ever said to your child, if you'll make your bed, you can have the candy bar? I mean, people do that with their children all the time. Now, if God happens to do that, and God says, clean up your life a little bit, I'll give you something that you'd like to have. Now, your salvation was a free gift. You didn't have to do anything to get that. He gave you the big righteousness you needed. Now he comes along and he says, I have some things that you would like to have, and if you will live righteously, you more so qualify. Now, some of you might not like that, but let me tell you something. If you've seen wicked, nasty, vile, lost people out in the world living like animals, getting their prayers answered, you'd say, what's up with that? Look at how they live. Maybe God's looking at you and say, what's up with that? Look at how you live. So I don't blame God for coming to us and saying, I've got everything you need. Knock it off. Live right. Let me show you what I can do. So it says that these prayers of a righteous man, then what's our goal? Availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means produce much. It says much, by the way. Not little, but much. This little, simple, 8-point outline is something that I use to guide me through my big prayers in life. I'll promise you, there are times when I prayed and I wanted something and I couldn't figure out how to get it. And then the Lord would say, well, Jeff, what about this in your life? Won't you knock that off? I'd negotiate a little on it. And then he'd say, what do you want? You want that fleshly desire or do you want your prayer request answered? Some of you, you're there. If you're not, you ought to be after this sermon. What is it that's in your life that is more important to you than getting your prayers answered? What attachment to this world is such a big deal that you're going to keep it in your life rather than get your prayers answered? And let me tell you this, let me warn you. You may need something from God real big before the week's out. He may bring a need in your life, so you're going to have to make a choice. You say, well, what would he be trying to do to me? Purify you. God never tries to do anything to you. Everything he does for you. Hey, I'm almost finished, I promise. I'll be done by 8:05 a.m. I'm going to share 5 prayer requests with you. I wish you'd pray for Practical Bible Baptist College. We're working very hard to get it ready. There's a handful of people helping. We have our hands full. We want to launch the web college by the time youth conference gets here. But I wish you'd really pray. I believe we could influence thousands of people with that opportunity. I wish you'd pray about it. Secondly, I wish you'd pray about Twin Rivers Baptist Academy. I really want our school. I want to launch strong. Pray for Brother Ellswick as he gets things ready. We're preparing. We're working. When you start with nothing, you got a lot of territory to travel to get something going. Pray about the college. Pray about the school. Pray about our building program. We know it. We need more space. I really believe there are people, and the parking lot attendants, people tell me this, there are people that will pull into the parking lot, look for a space, and drive out of the parking lot and leave because they don't know where to park. And I can't convince everybody to go down to the overflow lot and park down there. We know that. And I think there are all sorts of people that come here. They love the Spirit. They love what's going on here. But every chair sometimes is filled. And I think it's hard on people. If everybody in this building tonight had their way, there would be two chairs in between them and any other human being, including their wife and their kids. We like our space. I understand it. But I will tell you, of course, you know, we're raising our money. We're getting there. But I really think we're going to need another miracle from God to make it happen. And I wish somebody would take this serious enough to pray that God will work it out. I think this time next year we really need a bigger building. We need one now. So I want you to pray about the college. Pray about our Christian Academy. Pray about the building program. I wish you'd pray about our youth conference. We are trying. We're trying not to get the word out. If you've ever been to our youth conference, you already know we're packed. We can't hold any more people. And Brother Elswick will say to me, had another church call, say they're coming. He said, oh, brother, we'll pack it out. But I want you to pray. And I think if we get our bigger building, we can accommodate more people at the youth conference. And that's a good problem to have. But I want you to pray about the youth conference and that it makes a difference. And then I'm going to ask you to pray for just a few people. I want you to pray for Mrs. Kroom and her healing. I really wish you would. She hardly ever, maybe once a year now, she gets out and into church. But don't forget about her. I want you to pray for her. I want you to pray for Ciola. And if you don't know that name, you don't have to know that name. But Ciola is a lady that came to our church for years. She's dying from cancer. She's moved back to her family and going. It's hard to go any further south than us, but that's where she's at. I want you to pray for Brother Nofsinger. He has faced some very difficult health issues in recent days. I want you to pray for him. I want you to continue to pray for Marie's healing. She and I were talking earlier, and she's getting around and healing, but it was a big operation, and I want you to continue to pray. I want you to pray for Mrs. Caldwell. She really struggles with her health. I want you to pray for the Rose. Jerry and Barbara both, you know, they're in their place and you'll see them laughing and carrying on, but they've had a lot of health issues. I think of Lynn and the Malpas family. A lot of you don't know the whole testimony, but boy, they have faced some difficult things. There are so many here. I think we've got young couples that have faced difficult health scares. We've got people with babies on the way and people with diagnosis hanging in the balance. Folks, I'll tell you when you're going to wish somebody would pray and that they'll be right with God when they pray. It's when it's your child that is facing death. It's when your marriage is on the rocks. It's when your diagnosis is cancer. Why don't we learn to pray for one another before it's about us? Because you're going to need somebody someday to pray. I'm going to ask you a question. Could anybody come to you and say, preacher said you need one heavy hitter to pray with you. Preacher said I needed somebody that I just know gets their prayers answered. Could anybody come to you to be their prayer partner? You ought to make it so they could. We're an exciting church, a thrilling church. But folks, we're no better than we are prayers. We've got to stay in contact with God. If we want to see the supernatural, we'll have to get that through prayer.